There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I know it's only a few of us that will make that connection, especially because I don't often preach on a psalm. But our psalm today, Psalm 51, is actually strange for me to say or sing here in September. Because Psalm 51, in its totality, the entire thing, is what we say every year on Ash Wednesday, kneeling. For us, Psalm 51 is a psalm of penitence. It is a psalm where we are there kneeling before God with the marks of our mortality on our foreheads, that in that moment, we are confessing to God how truly, truly sinful we are. So here we now say this hymn. We sang it right here in September, not an Ash Wednesday in sight. And so suddenly, I have a very different feeling about this psalm. This is a psalm, actually, I say a portion of every Sunday or any time I'm in the Eucharist when the priest is getting ready to give communion. It is tradition to do the lavabo. And lavabo is just the Latin, I wash. And that's when an acolyte pours water over the priest's hands. This at a practical point, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago. Today it's more symbolic. But as I have that water on my hands, I say a portion of verse 2 and a portion of verse 8. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and I shall be clean indeed. Really, when you read it, you understand why we say it on Ash Wednesday, talking about our wickedness and our sin. I know my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are justified when you speak and upright in your judgment. Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb. Pretty Ash Wednesday, kneeling down there as we talk about our sins. But actually, there is a sense of joy in this psalm. Even when it begins, have mercy, O God, according to your loving kindness and your great compassion. Blot out my offenses. That word, loving kindness, it's hyphenated. It seems a little unusual to put that together, but that indicates that it is translating the word chesed, which in Hebrew means mercy or loving kindness. It's actually much beyond that. We don't really have a word to translate the depth of mercy and loving kindness in that word. So right from the very beginning in this psalm, where the psalmist is talking about their sin and how evil they are, it starts off with a reminder of God's mercy. Later in the psalmist says, make me hear of joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. There's a lot of sin in our readings today, actually. First, we have in the reading from Exodus, where the Israelites have made the golden calf and they're bowing down, and God is ready to smite them. And God does, in the end, not smite them, although maybe it's partly because Moses is like, you're going to look really bad if, you know, you saved these people and you said they were going to continue forever and then you get rid of them all. But here are people who really, in a sense, have cut themselves off from God. Paul, in this letter to Timothy, is in that moment reminding the people that he's the first and foremost among sinners. He persecuted Christians and the followers of Jesus. Even in our gospel passage, the whole point of the parables is that Jesus has been confronted by the religious leadership, because he's been sitting down and eating with tax collectors and sinners, which means somehow he is condoning their behavior. So lots of sin, and then we get the ultimate psalm of sin and penitence. But the thread that runs through it all really is found in joy. Jesus tells the parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to go find the lost one sheep. And when he does, he rejoices. The woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one and just searches her house up and down and finds it and invites everybody to rejoice. And Jesus said, you know, they rejoice at finding a lost sheep and a coin. Imagine the rejoicing in heaven for the return of just one sinner. Now, I am a sinner, and don't take this personally, you are a sinner. We are all in the same boat. Not only for sins we know we committed, our psalm says that, for I know my transgressions, but also for the sins we don't even realize. Things that we have done that have taken us from the path that God would put us on. Really, when it comes down to it, there is no way you and I could ever do enough good deeds to wipe away demerits for our bad deeds. But that's not what God is about. That's not what salvation is about. Salvation is not about you and I managing somehow to kind of be able to get past what we've done wrong and make it to God. It doesn't mean that you don't repent, that you don't try to do better, that you don't confess to God. But God is not out there waiting for you to be perfect, to be sinless, before God will give you loving kindness. We know in Jesus what happens is that God comes directly to us. Jesus, sitting there with tax collectors and sinners, says that God does not abandon you because you sin. there's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. Him I absolutely love. And it was echoed in a reading I had this week from Rolf Jacobson, an incredible professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul. Dr. Jacobson says, when God's mercy, when it comes, washes us in an ocean of forgiveness that makes us clean. Repentance is not about beating our breast. It is the joy of reunion. God's judgment is not something to fear. It is something to welcome because it means that there is no place we can go that God will not be there. There is no way we can separate ourselves from God so much that God won't leave it all just to search us out. There's a wideness in God's mercy. And we see that in these lessons that have sin in them. Maybe with Moses and God and the golden calf, there is a sense of God having to struggle with whether or not the smiting happens. Certainly with Paul, we know that it is a great sign of God's love and forgiveness that the persecutor of Jesus' followers would become one of the most important evangelists. And Jesus, who sits down with tax collectors and sinners, reminds us that this moment where our sins meet God's chesed, God's loving kindness, is a moment when the joy and love of God burns away the parts of us that are broken. In that moment, we are healed. That doesn't mean you don't have to try or repent to turn your life around. But it is a reminder that penitence means nothing if it is not cast a light on it by the love of God. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. That mercy washes over us in waves. Amen.